Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Chairs No Waiting, episode number 544, Legacy of Mayberry continues. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and pick up the 2020 Andy Griffith Show wall calendar. They're shipping now. You're going to want them. And hey, you need to get some Mayberry's Finest coffee. That's right. You can get Mayberry Diner's decaffeinated coffee, Otis Campbell's Better Than Dark Home Dark Roasted Coffee, or the Sunday Morning Breakfast Blend. Head over to Weavers and check those out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. The executive producer of this episode is the folks from the Mayberry Meetup 2019. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsome, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and it is absolutely great to be here in Mayberry with you once again. Last week, the podcast was about the legacy of Mayberry. That was episode number 543. So if you haven't heard it, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. Now, you don't have to before you listen or watch this episode, but it was kind of ironic to me because last week we were talking about that, and maybe irony is not the right word, but it was coincidental that we had gone over all these things where Andy Griffith Show had impacted the entertainment world, whether it had been television, song, music, things like where it had just intertwined into our culture. And we were talking about that. But I ran across this article this week that I just couldn't believe it because it was a real impact. So we're going to be going into that. And stick around because we're going to hear a This Week in Mayberry report from Randy Turner after that. So don't run off on me. So let's get this going. I'm going to play a little bit of background music for make it easier for you guys to enjoy me talking the whole time. All right. So this is a story I ran across. It was on MeTV, the MeTV article, where they were talking about Barney Fife recently helped solve a real crime in Indiana. So I started looking into this. This was a true story. Now, this was published in several different locations, and there's some references in this story that MeTV had on their website. And let's cover this. This is by some MeTV staff. I wasn't able to get permission from MeTV staff because I don't know who it is. But this article was covered also in the Star Tribune. And also I ran across it on a website called Decades.com. They were all talking about this. And I'm pretty sure that Decades.com and MeTV must be the same parent company. Anyway, let me tell you this story because this is pretty cool. If you haven't heard about it. So after Hurricane Harvey hit in Texas, the damage included a lot of cars that were badly damaged by the storms that the state, it said were junk. They were junk cars. The state of Texas said, these are junk cars. They got to be junked. All right. Well, later, a pair of those cars, two of them, made it out of the state of Texas and traveled up to Indiana, where apparently the Texas junk ruling was ignored. So they ignored the fact that these cars were junk. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, but you get a car and it gets flooded or something like that. Nobody wants it after that because you've got a flooded vehicle. Well, who wants to be the guy who buys that car? So this is where it comes in. Remember, this story is all about how Barney Fife recently helped solve a crime in Indiana. So let's go back to the story. So those two cars made it up to Indiana, and the junk ruling in Texas evidently had no effect whatsoever. And that resulted in the courts recently deciding was a dishonest sale of the cars to a full-service auto shop. So those cars made it up into Indiana, a full-service auto body shop called Majestic Auto Body. It was located in Quincy, Indiana. It's a small town, less than 2,000 residents. You know, kind of like Mayberry. Now, this is a story from the real world where, in the end, honesty prevailed. Wow, just like in Mayberry. And it comes from a town that sounds an awful lot like Mayberry. And in its defense, actually cited a memorable Mayberry case. The local auto shop persuaded the judge to rule on their side by invoking the Andy Griffith Show hero Barney Fife. According to the website called The Indiana Lawyer, Majestic Auto Body was able to get justice by citing Barney's first car, the episode we all love where Barney bought his car. And the judge was so sold on the logic and the decency at the heart of that episode that she cited that specific defense in her official ruling on the Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles versus Majestic Auto Body. And this is what she said. She said, quote, "We commend the state for tapping into its creative juices and comparing this case to the classic episode of Barney's first car in the Andy Griffith Show. In that episode, the lovable Barney Fife empties his entire life's savings to purchase his first car, a 1954 Ford. The seller purports to be an elderly widow struggling to part with her late husband's vehicle. But unknown to Barney, the seller is a member of a gang that dishonestly sells stolen old vehicles as good condition cars." Judge, this is Judge Patricia Riley. She wrote this. The car, there's a picture of the car in the article. It said this is the car that Barney bought that influenced this decision. And it goes on to say, and the condition of it was so bad in the episode, the car, that when Gomer comes in to tell Barney what his car needs fixed, we all love this one, his list is exhaustive, including, I'm going to mess this up, plugs, points, bearings, valves, starter switch, ignition wires, water pump, fuel pump, oil pump, clutch, clutch bearing, brake lines, brake shoes, radiator hose, and you know, it just keeps going on. Let's just say that the car was in such bad shape that even Opie and Aunt B had to hop out during that episode just to push it back to town. You remember they were helping Andy and Gomer push it back? Well, the judge concluded in her decision to give credit to Barney Fife with making up her mind. She said, quote, "The state argues that to prevent Hoosiers from finding themselves in Barney Fife's shoes, the General Assembly enacted Indiana Code," and it's got a code number, 922318. You know, I have to remember that. "And that the aim of this statute is to ensure that Indiana citizens are not duped into buying vehicles that have been declared junk by other states." So that's the end of the quote. So just like in the episode, Barney Fife ended up saving the day in the real world. We're sure the deputy would tip his hat and humbly say, "You're welcome, Indiana." At the end of Barney's first car, Andy and Barney stake out the gang that sold Barney the car. It's a rare tense moment on the Andy Griffith Show, but when the little old lady, who turns out to be the gang leader, Mert Hubcaps Lesh, when she arrives and sees the car, she sees it, and Andy and Barney, as you expect, were hiding inside it. When she sees that, Hubcap sees the car and lets out the missive line, custom made to push Barney Fife out of his hiding. "That's the clunker I sold to that boob in Mayberry." Shaking only a little, Barney pops out, gun drawn. He replies, you didn't think you were fooling anybody, did you, Mrs. Lesh?" Their bravery pays off, and Barney gets his money back by the time the closing credits roll. Decades later, fans of this episode would point to this important precedent, and Barney Fife would once again help make the world a more honest place, especially in a small town that seems to mirror Mayberry in so many ways. Attaboy, Barney. Attaboy, Luther. There's more stories, and I'll have links to them in the show notes of this episode, so if you'd like to read them. We have one from the Tribune Star where it says Barney Fife pops in Indiana court case, which is basically the same story I just told you. It goes into some other details, but it's basically the same story. So you find out that they basically ended up, as I said last week in last week's episode, when we were talking about this, that the Andy Griffith Show, the legacy of the Andy Griffith Show continues. So not only has it impacted pop culture and the things we hear and see on TV and in songs, and the fact that you and I quote Andy Griffith Show quotes all the time when we're just in real life talking to people, but now we've got lawyers doing it. I just think it's amazing. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed the story. There's a lot more to read about it if you'd like to go and read. There's she's got a lot of legal stuff, and they tell you it was a minivan and all this kind of other. There's lots of other stuff in there. If you're a lawyer and like to go read that, you might enjoy doing so. But I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a podcast host who loves the Andy Griffith Show, and I know you're just a fan. So I hope you'll enjoy that. Now, we're going to sail on over and hear a story from our good friend Randy Turner for this week in Mayberry history.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Bill Idelson was born on August the 21st, 1919. Fans of the Andy Griffith Show know him as one of the writers behind a number of episodes considered to be classics. But he was successful on a number of fronts in a multifaceted career that spanned from 1931 to 2007. As a child actor, Bill is best remembered for playing Rush Gook on the extremely popular radio series Vic and Sade. Only 12 when he started, he played the adopted son of the title characters in a series that once had 7 million devoted listeners. The series ran for 14 years, with Bill playing the role other than when in the military. When Vic and Sade ended, Bill moved to Los Angeles and began appearing primarily in television. He left the entertainment industry for a brief time to work in real estate, but returned to not only act, but to write for the medium. The first televised episode he wrote was a 1961 episode of The Twilight Zone. For years, Bill continued these two successful dual careers, staying busy as a character actor and continuing to write. A series in which he both wrote and acted provided him the television role for which he is best known. Bill was cast in The Dick Van Dyke Show as the recurring Mama's Boy character Herman Glimpscher, Sally Rogers' sometimes boyfriend, who would do little without his mother's approval. Bill played the recurring role and also wrote several episodes of the series. In 1964, Bill began a writing partnership with Sam Bobrick, which lasted several years. The team began writing for The Andy Griffith Show during its fourth season. Over that season and the next three, the writing team wrote 19 episodes, many of which are classics, and one, The Shoplifters, earning them a Writers Guild of America award. Bill and Sam remained writing partners through 1967. They also wrote 15 episodes of Gomer Pyle, USMC, while Bill continued his acting career, even appearing in one of the 1965 episodes of USMC. At the end of 1967, Bill and Sam dissolved their writing partnership. Bill then partnered with writer Harvey Miller. The pair wrote an additional 8 episodes of USMC, meaning Bill wrote 23 episodes of the series, which is more than 15% of the total episodes produced. Bill and Harvey also helped create Love American Style, earning them an Emmy nomination in 1971 for the series. In addition to producing the show, Bill also wrote 7 segments and often served as a script consultant. In late 1972, Bill began writing various series episodes on his own, with only the occasional co-writing job with Harvey, until his second writing partnership also dissolved. His next-to-last acting role was a reprisal of his most well-known in television. He again played Herman Glimpshire, now married to the former Sally Rogers, in the TV reunion movie The Dick Van Dyke Show Revisited. After such a career, one would be entitled to rest on one's laurels. However, while Idelson had retired from television writing in 1987, he wrote several books about his career, as well as a textbook used in a popular class he taught in script writing. Bill passed away in 2007, but in addition to his many other accomplishments, he is also well remembered in the industry for his role as a writing mentor to many writers in Hollywood. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. If you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of Randy's reports or the things he's doing on the Mayberry out on the web, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. That's turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on anything. Oh, it was a great report. Great job. Some of the folks that were in the chat room while we were talking, they were asking if Neil Bentley was involved in any way in that court case that Barney helped do. And I said, no, I think it was Bernard P. Fife, attorney at law. We think maybe that should have called this episode that. Doggone it. That would have been a great one. Bernard P. Fife, attorney at law. Oh, me. Oh, so we have another little special treat for you. So we've got a little clip here that's about the Mayberry Man, the movie. Mayberry Man, the movie that we've got some guys are trying to get this going. And so let's hear from, I'll let you hear. I think he tells who it's from. So let's go and check out these couple of clips right here.
Hey y'all, George Lindsay Jr. here. Mayberry Man the movie's coming soon, and it's gonna be a good one. Goober says hey.
To learn more about the Mayberry Man movie, visit our website, mayberryman.com, and be sure to like our Mayberry Man movie Facebook page.
Yeah. Alan Newsom has been morphing into Floyd the Barber for a long, long time. I think it's 25 years that Alan has been leading the charge of Mayberry Citizens as Floyd. He plays a wonderful Floyd. From the moment I saw him, I thought, that man has it. And Alan, for all these years, you've done a great job, and I just think you deserve a big, giant slap on the back. Not so hard that you get, like, hurt, but, I mean, a good slap on the back.
So, Mayberry Man, the movie. They're going to be kicking this off pretty soon here, and you'll have an opportunity to be a part of that. So, if you go to Mayberry Man Movie on Facebook, or if you just go to mayberryman.com, I believe is the right site for the website, you can just go and you can be a part of that when they have their Kickstarter that's going to be starting fairly soon. They're going to have they're going to be raising money to try to make this movie. And of course I'm going to be in it, which is going to be awesome. So if it gets made, but it's mayberryman.com is the website, and Mayberry Man Movie on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/Mayberry Man Movie, you'll go and check it out. So that was Clint Howard, by the way, the last one talking. That was George Lindsay Jr., the Goobasan. That's what he says. He's the son of Goober, Goobasan. Goobasan. George Lindsay Jr. and Clint Howard, Ron Howard's little brother, and Leon on the Andy Griffith Show as well. So you got to hear from both of them. It's going to be a lot of fun if they get to make the movie for me. I know it will, and I think it will for you as well. Go and check out the website, and you'll be able to keep up with what's going on. Sign up. I bet there's you can sign up to some of their Facebook stuff. There's links in our show notes for that as well. Well, folks, that is all I have for you this week. It's going to be a big week, because I got to travel. I'll be gone. So I'm recording this early. You wouldn't know that unless you were in the live shows. But I'm recording early because I'm going to be out of town for a couple of days and would have missed out on being able to be here in Mayberry with you. And I didn't want to do that. So I would love to hear from you. Give me a call at 888-684-8415 and tell me somehow the legacy of Mayberry has impacted you. That would be absolutely awesome. I'd love to hear your voice and hear those words. So do that. Head over to twochairsnowaiting.com. The link there is for the phone number. If you didn't get it, it's 888-684-8415. But the link is at, if you go to twochairsnowaiting.com, click on the About, and you'll see the contact information right there. Guys, thank you for being here with me. I always enjoy being in Mayberry with you every week. And until next time, we'll see you right here on Two Chairs, No Waiting.
The Capital Ideas Podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.